Welcome, everyone. This is The LaRue Show, Saturday, May 30th, 2009. My name is Marcia Mary Baker. As you know, we are live on the Internet for the hour of U.S. Eastern Time from 3 to 4 in the afternoon weekly. And today, our focus of discussion is on an update on our world campaign to stop the Hitler movement before it takes over the planet. Now, that may sound grand, but I think everyone knows very directly we're seeing an epic financial breakdown crisis, an economic breakdown crisis. So the question before us is, are we going to continue civilization? Are we going to have the emergency measures that we should have, that Lyndon LaRouche and collaborators around the world have been working on, for a new credit system to restore systems of nation states that can rebuild the economy, can advance the human race? We need the creativity. We need the science. Or are we going to have chaos? Are we going to have collapse? And in fact, are we going to allow the neo-Hitler movement, which we're seeing in the form of, for example, in the United States, the proposal for Nazi medicine that's coming out in the name of reforming health care from the Obama White House, it's coming out of the Senate. We're seeing proposals for worldwide low-tech energy to cut carbon emissions. It's coming out. I'll get to all that, but that's why we invited the guests, two guests to discuss this, who are on different geographic fronts of the world but are fighting specific battles. And I'm glad to have from Houston, Texas, in the LaRouche Youth Movement down there, Sharon Pearson. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you, Marcia.
And at the same time, from Europe, from Denmark, speaking to us in Copenhagen, I'm very glad to have our director of the Schiller Institute there, Tom Gillisberg. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Marcia.
Now, let me just throw out here on their one aspect of what they're up to is that throughout Europe on June 7th, I think that's right, Tom, there's the European parliamentary elections?
Yes, that's true.
And we want you to get to not just that date, but the whole process of what's happening in Europe in a moment. But Sharon, I just want to throw in here on the United States side is that Sharon's colleagues in the LaRouche Youth Movement, I think, are in one of the rallies that's going on all around the country, in their case in Austin, Texas. But there have been rallies in San Francisco, Seattle, Boston, dozens of them, on the nominal topic of having real health care in the country. And on June 9th in Houston, I think at the Houston Medical Center, the LaRouche Political Action Committee is having an event to expose the Nazi medicine drive behind this thing called reforming healthcare, and instead to have a real emergency program for restoring healthcare and the economy. But Sharon, is that you're still organized? Is that the right date and time?
Yes, it is.
So what I'd like to do is, if we can, let's start with Europe in the sense, Tom, you've been involved with colleagues in other nations to, on the occasion of this June 7th election, I think you have a couple of slates of collaborators of LaRouche running in Sweden and Germany, but in May you all gathered in Frankfurt. Could you start from there about the kind of focus of a lot of your activities right now?
Well, actually, a lot of the focus and the discussion that was going on was actually taking its beginning point in the process taking over in the United States.
Uh-huh.
Because despite us being in Europe, it's totally clear for anybody that's following what's going on that the fight over what our future will be is totally dependent on the outcome of the battle in the United States. Because in Europe, the oligarchy is simply so strong that, like you've been seeing in the United States with these bailout packages and so on that was carried out by the Bush team and now been carried forward by Larry Summers and others, people together with Barack Obama. This, of course, has also been going on in Europe. There's been basically no discussion whatsoever on it. Everybody is just having to accept it's being forced down their throat. And there's not really, there's no institutions to really take up the battle against this. And what we then were discussing at the on the occasion of preparing for the European parliamentarian elections is that what we therefore see in the United States right now with this drive for a new healthcare policy, basically a Nazi healthcare policy. I mean, not that people will be marching around with swastikas and black boots and this and that, but that you'll have economists, bioethic experts, and others basically being allowed to ram through on the basis of being experts. An economic policy which will reduce the spending on healthcare and these issues. Well, if that is carried through in the United States, well, that's the doom for Europe, because then we'll get it. If this is to be stopped, it has to be stopped in the United States. If this is carried through in the United States, If the Obama administration is being allowed to carry through this new healthcare policy, where you're talking about useless eaters, where you're talking about that we no longer can afford to spend money on healthcare for the elderly or for the incurable ill, where we might have to help them with a doctor's assisted suicide to save costs and this whole thing. If this goes through in the United States, then this simply will be pass through in Europe. So we discussed this that we then in tandem with what is going on in the United States will basically pull out all the stops. And totally put this on the front page of the discussion and in the political campaign. But still from the standpoint that we know that this has to be stopped in the United States. If the forces we have in the United States do not stop it there, then it will be forced down on us.
Right. Well, let me throw in an update here from what you say about what the game plan is looked at from the Nazi medicine side of the perpetrators, just for people to know, get a battle report. What's happened is over the last week, in recognition of Memorial Day in the United States, which was officially recognized last Monday, although it's often observed today, that Congress has been in their home districts. They've been in recess, but Monday, June 1st, they're coming back, and there will be an orchestrated initiation of action in the Senate, where Ted Kennedy is introducing a bill for universal health care coverage in the U.S. In other words, everyone would get a card to belong to this coverage, but there would be organized selective cutting of care to cut people off of care in a wholesale way. Senator Baucus from Montana, who's been the other front man, the main front man on this, will introduce another bill. So there will be it takes two to tango kind of charade go on, where Kennedy has a bill, Baucus has a bill. Senator Grassley, the Republican from Iowa, is in on the act. And the idea is that would be discussed for 10 days to a couple of weeks. And then they would pass something in a forced march way, give it to the House of Representatives, and say, you have to pass it. And this would meet then what this gang that's in the White House, you referred to them, Larry Summers, there's Peter Orszag, the Office of Management and Budget. There's a character named Nancy Ann DeParle, who is the White House reformer on health care, a guy named Ezekiel Emanuel. Anyway, they would get what's being called their comprehensive health care reform, according to this game plan, by sometime at the end of June or July. And then President Obama says he can sign it. And this supposedly is going to reform health care by giving everyone care, but it will save tons of money, which is another form of just channeling plenty of funds into the same financial interests who are getting it directly in the multi-trillion dollar bailout through the banks and hedge funds. This way they'd keep getting it through the big time managed care insurance companies. The top names are things like Aetna, Cigna, WellPoint. The biggest one perhaps is United Healthcare, whose main point person for the thing called reform is, guess who? The Tony Blair expert who did the healthcare so-called reforms in Britain from 1997 to 2004 is a man named Simon Stevens. He's up in Minnesota right now. He's Tony Blair's henchman. And Simon Stevens is the top guy in the AARP, the Association of Retired People's United Healthcare Program. So these people are on a binge, but the thing is, it's a question of exposing this for what it is, and the LaRouche Youth Movement and the LaRouche Political Action Committee here in the United States is all over the place right now. I'm not exaggerating. Doing what, let me just throw in here what I heard Lyndon LaRouche say a few hours ago when he met with the staff of the LaRouche Political Action Committee. He said, what we're up to in the United States is we're making people hate what President Obama is going and doing here. We're saying to him, hey, you bastard, you better stop it. You're betraying everything that those of us who might have voted for you intended for you to do. We're going to tell you what you have to do. And it's the kind of tough ideas that we're getting out, mincing no words, saying that selectively denying care, which is what they've done in Britain, and what they're doing in the United States, what they intend to do wholesale, is exactly like Hitler's decree in September 1939 that said there's certain lives not worthy to be lived, so so-called experts will be appointed to decide who lives and who has to die. So I'm just throwing that update in on the Congress front because you'll see a lot of this play out. But Sharon, let's come to you. This very weekend, there are a lot of rallies, as I mentioned before. Your friends are in Austin, Texas. But what have you been planning, or what are you up? What have you been doing in the way of organizing, even in Houston, the leading center in all of the Southwest?
Well, what we've been doing for the past few weeks since schools have let out, we decided to go to areas where we get a high traffic of people, like some in the downtown areas. And for the past 2-3 weeks in a row, we've been hitting the medical center area hard with the secondary fee for Hitler leaflet.
Oh, let me throw that in. The people can get that on the LaRouche Political Action Committee site, www.larouchepac.com. Right, Sharon? Go ahead.
Yes. We made ourselves excited. Yeah, one side with Lynn's statement, and on the other side we put a town hall meeting announcement on there. I think a lot of people came up to us agreeing with what we're saying. We had some freak out, which was expected. And one of our organizers actually got punched in the face.
Oh,
by a doctor. Saying we're not allowed. This guy was on when he came off the train, yelling out like, "Or Zach is a good Jew. He's not a Nazi." Blah 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 blah.
Oh, let me throw in here because I think I read about the signs you were using in this medical center area. One of them, I think, was Obama's healthcare policy approved by Nazi doctors, and you had a picture of Peter Orszag.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
it's the one that scientist just one that they have freaked out on.
Yeah.
I also just want to say at this conference we had in Germany, there was a very intense discussion on this because it's It's easily to be sidetracked in this whole healthcare discussion, because suddenly there was a discussion by some people, yes, but this about keep giving medication to people, they might be very ill, they keep getting medication, isn't this just a ploy by the big multinational drug companies to earn a lot of money and keep giving them drugs, even though we all know it's hopeless, they're going to die anyway. And I think this is the kind of argument that is consciously being thrown into the discussion to simply confuse people. Because on the one side you have, because everybody knows that you have these multinational drug companies ripping off people in one way or the other. But what came out in a very interesting discussion at this conference is, because you have to remember, we had this conference in Germany. And in Germany, there is also a collective memory, you could say, of these very bad events from the 30s. This is something people had to deal with. And where people, some of the older ones present had actually asked their parents earlier, when all of these terrible things happened before, why didn't you do something? Huh? Why did you go along with these nasty policies? Why didn't you, our parent generation, why didn't you fight this and stop this? And basically, as the discussion came back and forth, the key point was that it all started with the population accepting one way or another that it was okay to save the banks and sacrifice the people. And once you accepted that the banks and the financial interests were more important than the people, then step by step by step by step, you ended up with this terrible nightmare with concentration camps, with work camps, with the policy that of life's not worthy to be lived, and then with a direct order that those lives then should be terminated. But this whole process all started from some very simple beginnings where people says, yes, there's some lives not worthy to be lived. Yes, we have to sacrifice these people for this and that. And that's why it's so extremely important that what we do right now in the United States, that we do not wait until this whole process is started and you're slipping down this slope where everything simply gets worse and worse and you sacrifice more and more people. But you, under the leadership of Lyndon LaRouche, from the beginning, since we've seen this historical process before, we simply have to nip it in the bud, so to speak.
Right. And thank you, Tom and Sharon. Also, let me interpose right here. I just a few hours ago saw the artwork done by the LaRouche Political Action Committee for a mass circulation pamphlet they've either finished or will finish soon that will be posted on the LaRouchePAC.com, which has a photograph from the Hitler period in which there is Hitler with his toothbrush mustache and there is Obama smiling together with him on this question of having Nazi medicine today. And this is extremely hard-hitting. It can do the job, but what's needed, I know, are the resources to be able to print this. People can download it, this pamphlet. It has the information about what's coming out of the White House, what's going on with it, and it has all of the quotes from the small beginnings that Tom was just alluding to during the during the years in which Hitler implemented this to the point of genocidal mass exterminations. But so resources are needed. I encourage everyone to look at that. Look on the LaRouchePAC.com website. And it's going to be the upcoming days and weeks that's going to make all the difference, as he said, around the world. Now, let me take up one thing that you asked or that you raised about people seeing this for what it is, and Sharon, I know, has been otherwise going to different towns outside in Texas. I think the LaRouche Youth Movement for weeks in fact months, has been going not only to Austin, the state capital, where the legislature was in session this spring — they're not very often in session — but going to local city halls for town council meetings about the needed emergency legislation that LaRouche proposed 2 years ago for the Homeowners and Bank Protection Act. But this fight against the bums rush for Nazi medicine is part of the same thing. So, Sharon, you've been doing that even this week. Is that right, up to a place north of Houston?
Yes, I went to this town called Roman Forest.
Okay.
I basically was up front with the counselors. Saying the same people who put the kibosh against the Homeowners Being Protection Act and passed to the federal Congress are the same ones who want to enact these Hitlerian policies, which is doomed to kill people.
And was this council in session? Did you address them, or you met with them individually?
Like, they were in session. I went to address them.
Mm-hmm. And can you characterize the response that you or your colleagues are getting? I mean, people are making the connections.
And these some people had an inkling of what's going on, but they see they're protecting homeowners and getting the banks together as two separate entities. It's one and the same. If you gotta raise mortgage prices for people who are barely getting by, sooner or later they're gonna get kicked out of they're gonna find themselves without a job, without health care, without a place to live. What happens if someone gets sick and there's no health care?
Right. So this is. Let me ask you back to Europe. Speaking to Tom again, when you said there was this kind of discussion, ask you one thing. I understand that the effort made decades ago to counter this organized pessimism that you saw, there was the Club of Rome or like the death lobby or the idea that there's nothing you can do. You're reactivating the Club of Life. Is that right?
That was a discussion at the conference to also do that. We were also looking back because this is 25 years ago, there was this massive, even 30 years ago, there was this massive campaign in Europe that we at the time, as an institution, as you said, with Helga Sepp LaRouche founding the Club of Life, also in the beginnings of the Schiller Institute, but especially there in the beginnings, end of the 70s, beginning of the 80s, there was this massive push to actually have this kind of change in thinking about human life, as is now being tried to be pushed through in the United States with this Obama healthcare reform. And this, we as an institution at the time in the different countries were partly successful in stopping some of this, in exposing it for what it was, because this was like with the huge campaign about how you should have the right to take your own life, why should you keep getting medications, why should you not be allowed to die with dignity, and all of these kind of things. And people simply didn't see that this was, again, a process of doing away with the dignity of life and thereby preparing the ground for being able to have this kind of change into Nazi view of what human beings are. And at the time, we managed partly to stop it, but in all of Europe, and I know for a fact in Denmark, this had a very big negative impact in the whole healthcare system. That all over the healthcare system, the doctors, the physicians, and so on, they all got used to think about everything in monetary terms. That every time you want to do something for your patient, you have to think, should we spend the money for this? Do we really have the money for this or for this or for this? And in every decision being made, this is somehow already in there. And this has already led to huge amounts of people actually dying over the years simply for not getting the care they should have be gotten. So this we have already had, and this was not full-fledged, but this was like a part of the process. And that's also why if it's being allowed to be carried forth in the United States like it's being planned right now, well, then we'll get into phase two, and this is going to be very ugly, because this time it's going to happen under a full-blown economic crisis where you simply will say, we do not have the money for this, we do not have the money for that, and then people simply have to accept to make the sacrifices. And, of course, sacrifices will not be made by the big bankers or the people on Wall Street. The sacrifices will be made among what you could call the invisible men and women out there that will be sacrificed in order to keep certain things, to keep the system going like it is today.
Right. One thing to underscore what you're saying is that it's quite impressive the literal British nationals who were active with Tony Blair and setting up this operation in England, who are very active here now. I mentioned one of them, Simon Stevens, who is at United Healthcare. There's another man named Sir Michael Rawlins, who is the head in Britain of an outfit they set up under Tony Blair 10 years ago in 1999 called the National Institute for Health and Clinical Excellence. It's otherwise known as the Nazi-inspired Commoner Extermination Institute. But they, this man, Sir Michael Rawlins, here in the United States, he's been giving video conferences. Those of you who listen to this, if you want to look up, Time Magazine has an interview with Sir Michael Rawlins in March this year, 2009, about how healthcare must be looked at in monetary terms. Just what you said, Tom. And he goes through the fact that you actually have to quantify quality years. I forget what he calls it, QALY. You have to relatively see, should you bother to intervene to prolong somebody's life if it won't have very good quality? Maybe you're doing them a favor by helping them die early. And I think that we got a call, Tom, from one of your Danish compatriots, Leni Rubinstein, weeks ago when she was reading our Homeland Press, whatever the new major newspaper is, the Jyllands-Posten, and it described the Danish medical corps that technically, of course, is among the best in the world, but with NATO in Afghanistan, it was said that because when Danish or NATO soldiers might be hurt and lose an arm or be blinded, they would get very big-time rescue medicine, but the Afghani soldiers in the fighting alongside them would not, because it was thought that the quality of life in Afghanistan is very low, so there's no use helping them to live longer. So she called. She was very. This was a horrifying kind of thing, but it's pervasive around the world in the last 30 years, unfortunately. You've probably run into that.
Yes, yes, yes. No, and the way they said, and this was like the one doctor who, by the way, he was down there doing all of these surgeries, but he himself was disagreeing on that, the fact that they should be there. He felt this was a very bad, insane thing to be in Afghanistan having this war. But basically where they said, well, if you have an Afghani, he's going to have to sit in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. You cannot get around in a wheelchair in Afghanistan. You cannot, nobody will, the state won't help you. Therefore, everybody everybody agrees it's not worth the trouble. He might as well, you know, we'll give him some extra something, some drugs to take away the pain, and then he, you know, can die, and then that's over with. And the thing he says, well, this sounds, you know, very dramatic, but ask anybody and they will tell you that's the way it has to be. So it's pervasive. It's like, it's the thinking has been changed that much. So we are, in that sense, in a lot worse position today on this point than they were in Germany in the 30s. Because the respect for life has been undermined so severely that if you allow this to go forward, it will go with a very rapid speed with under this financial crisis, where you'll take one step after the other, after the other, after the other. And before you know it, you know, then people will simply be sent to die in great numbers, because why should we bother spending the money and keeping them alive?
Right. Well, let me just acknowledge here we've got a couple emails that have come in, and one of them bears on this. It's from Adam, thank you, and he's talking about the fact of going the whole way. Do people realize, I think he's talking about the boomer generation, how pessimistic it's become, where Friedrich Nietzsche is openly acknowledged as being relevant when he was so crazy, to some of the behavioral economists. I'm bringing that up because the common theme here is pessimism to the point of insanity, right? I don't know if you do want to say anything on that, Tom, or no?
Well, I actually wanted to bring up another thing in that connection.
Thank you.
Because here in Copenhagen, we have been, I will not say blessed, I will say what the opposite of being blessed. We have been plagued by having been chosen that there will be a big climate summit here in Copenhagen from the 6th of December to the 18th of December this year. And Denmark has, some say that Denmark has been chosen because we are the number one producer of windmills in the world. You have all of this green economy stuff here that's been very strong. And the government is very proud. 20% of the electricity in Denmark is produced by windmills. It cost us a fortune. We have extremely high electricity prices here because the normal consumer of electricity has to pay for all of these windmills producing this very expensive electricity.
By the way, I think I hear Sharon laughing. Is Texas number one in the U.S. too for windmills? Is that right, Sharon? You have the crazy.
Yeah. Your name, T-Boom Pickens.
Yes.
Go ahead. It may be human out here in Houston, but it just Pickens blowing a lot of hot air.
Right.
So they have this chosen Copenhagen to have this conference. Where the idea is, and what they have been working on is, they say, if we can get Barack Obama to come, and if we can get the United States to sign on to this, we can actually get a global agreement where we will force through that everybody has to reduce their carbon dioxide emissions, or carbon emissions, they call it, where everybody will not be allowed simply to have a coal power plant or whatever, but only very limited economic development will be allowed, and it all has to be of this extremely expensive kind of development, like solar panels, windmills, this or that, which will literally, if you look what will be the consequences of this, it will mean that a great part of the world economy will be sucked into this thing. It will be a bubble for certain people like Al Gore and others that are heavily invested in speculation in this green bubble. But for the poor nations of the world, for the poor people in the world, this is genocidal. It will simply mean that they're already sitting on in a very precarious situation, hardly surviving right now in great numbers out there. And you'll simply push them out over the edge where they can no longer survive, where they simply will die from disease, starvation, this or that. And where at the same time, as this was also a big discussions we had down in Germany at this conference, where you then will have disease and epidemics like the swine flu epidemics, like other diseases will simply come in great numbers from these poor people dying out, which will spread around the world. And Copenhagen has been chosen that this is going to be the place where this, what you really has to call in a scientific term, really like green fascist policies, has to be forced through, that at the same time as we are already bankrupt through the financial crisis and rotten economic policies, on top you will then have this enormous green taxation being forced through. We have then here been very active because unfortunately it means that there's a huge climate diplomacy in Denmark. We have actually a minister being named a climate minister, Connie Hedegaard, who is traveling around the world, having meetings, being promoted in the media, this or that, to get people round up and get them brainwashed with this thing.
She's been in Washington very high profile in the last 2 months.
And being already actually by the late Bush administration, this was being promoted heavily, and that has been continuing into the Obama administration, and where everybody is being brainwashed into, if we can just get an agreement on this, if we can just get an agreement on this, everybody agrees, we just need you too. And if you just come on board, everything will be happy. We'll all be so happy. And like we just had there was one in a long row of conferences taking place, something called the World Business Summit on Climate Change, where you then had Al Gore coming, giving a big speech, oh, the great hero Al Gore, where you had the head of the European Commission, Barroso, where you had the General Secretary of the United Nations and so on. And all on this, now we have to have this great consensus on this policy. We, of course, were outside. We had a big banner saying British climate lies leads to genocide, and where we were distributing leaflets basically forcing the point that this is a genocide policy and it's British. And no, and if you see all of these conferences we have here in Copenhagen, it's held in Denmark. Nominally, it's Danish government take care of it, but all the experts come from London. All the experts are British experts.
I get you had one of the worst, right, Sir Nicholas Stern? Did you?
He came to one that we had 2 months ago, a conference here.
Okay.
And this time around, and it's like they're all over the place. And they then, so they are running this extremely high-profile brainwashing thing that everybody simply has to go along with this. And, of course, as I said, what we then went out with was exposing the British hand in this, but also the point that you have to remember, Prince Philip, who was the founder of the World Wildlife Foundation, back many years ago, and started this whole green wave of politics, this whole environmentalism. He founded the World Wide Fund for Nature together with Prince Bernhard, who was a former Nazi from Holland, who used to be a member of the Nazi Party until he had to resign to get married in Holland. And Prince Philip has openly stated again and again that he wants to reduce the world population to 2 billion people. And you have to remember, we are 6.7 billion today. So it means killing off 4.7 billion people. And he means it. And he has said if he would have the opportunity to come back as a deadly virus, he wanted to be reincarnated as a deadly virus so he could solve the biggest problem the world has, all this overpopulation of people. So what we have been doing when we went out with leaflets and intervened in discussions around these conferences is to expose this, that there is something, and if you look at it, you have these separate, seemingly separate things, right? You have a world economic crisis, then suddenly you have this big drive to have this green policy, do not have industrial build-up, you're not allowed to use nuclear power, of course, you're not allowed to use modern technology. At the same time, you have other parts of it coming out saying, now we need a new healthcare policy where we will not provide healthcare for everybody, we can't afford that, we'll have to let some people go. And if you look at what's binding this whole thing together, this is a genocide policy. And this is totally consistent with the world outlook of Prince Philip and these types in not only the British oligarchy, but in the worldwide oligarchy and these key financial circles that for too long, you could say, has been allowed to run world policy.
Right. Well, let me ask further on that, because you've been exposing that there. I know we're just talking about Sharon and the effort in the United States that's going head-to-head, exposing to stop this Nazi medicine drive. But on the other side, you've been bringing out the optimistic technology, the what can be done with nuclear power. And Sharon, that's another side in Texas, right, for years. But in recent days, it's the case you've been organizing for example, the water development projects in the Rio Grande Valley and the entire West, or can you say something about the way that youth or even of any age, the population you're organizing among, responds to this view?
Well, on the issue of water, they, some towns in the Rio Grande Valley area, they had to shut off water for a few days. They whatever little water they had left, they could be replenished for more. And when we talked to people about the Nahuapa Plano project, and they actually see it as a necessity that the green west Texas, all of Mexico, the desert Southwest, would actually bring forth jobs to get people thinking again, get them off of MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter even.
Mm-hmm. Right. People know who's listening, I'm sure, referring to the North American Water and Power Alliance and to the great project in Mexico to bring water from the more plentiful southern regions up to northwest Mexico, the Plinjo, the hydraulic project. So you've been taking that, I presume, too, in recent months and years, in fact, to some of the city councils or to the – is that right? You've been going outward throughout Texas?
Yeah, the last major trip we went on was a few, some people here went down to the Corpus Christi area to organize the one you can get the HBPA pass. Uh-huh. And there were some people who were interested in the big water projects.
Well, it's good to throw a lot of water on T. Boone Pickens. He's the national figure calling for these windmills that Tom was just denouncing.
Yeah.
Really like to flood him out of there. In that regard, back to Tom, you've also I know when you were on the show, I can't remember, was it a year ago or so forth, but you've been talking about the deliberate efforts to recall people to be optimistic again. And you might want to say that again about Denmark with the famous projects that have gone through there and the mood, you know, the potential for.
Yes, and this is actually right now, this weekend, we are putting together a new newspaper here. We've been giving out a series of campaign newspapers where we've been printing them in 50 to 60,000 copies, which is a more substantial amount here than in the United States. It's like 1% of the Danish population. And we've been printing these newspapers and then been getting them around all over the place, of course, to leading political layers, institutions, but also on the streets, dormitories, universities, and so on and so forth. And the theme because there was the one good thing here in Denmark was that there was actually some big infrastructure projects completed in the last 20 years, and therefore a certain understanding that through human science and technology, you can actually, even though you're a little skeptical at first, when the project stands there, it's fantastic because it transforms your life for the better. And we have then been saying, good, we did that, but now, especially together with this world financial crisis we warned about were forthcoming, we said, after the financial crash, we need a national maglev system. We need to take this fantastic technology of having maglev trains that actually go 300 miles per hour, just like that, and have a national system of them in order to tie. I mean, Denmark is a very small place. So if you had a national maglev net, it would basically mean that the whole country is one big suburb, that all the major cities will be within 1 hour distance from each other at the most. And we said this project, with some big bridge projects together with that, that we have to go with right now. We have to go with these frontier technologies right now, especially because we have this big financial crisis coming on, because that's how you get out of it. You cannot save your way out of a financial depression. You can kill yourself, but you can't get out. You might get out of life, but you can't get out of a depression with austerity politics, with Nazi policies. It won't work. You have to build yourself out of it, which means you have to have the state going in, create the credits, and give out credit earmarked to these kind of big infrastructure projects. So this will actually be, together with this, with the terrible story on this, on the change that's been in the Obama administration after he went to London for the G20 minutes, and this horrible attempt to carry through this Nazi policies, we will be presenting on the one side. Then we will have a part of a webcast with LaRouche in the paper, and then we will have that together with a call for and also a speech we had in Parliament on this kind of infrastructure and investment policy needed to actually give us a way out of the mess.
Right, thanks. Let me ask either one of you a further thing on this, or maybe Tom, I'm turning to you again on this, is that on the financial interests that are the great hole where everything is going into, J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, there are many that are nameless, but just the huge multi-trillion-dollar bailouts, the money through the managed care system in the U.S. that's estimated to use $350 billion a year out of $2 trillion spent on healthcare, because it's all going to this managed care cancer. You had Helga LaRouche there just, I think, about a month ago today in Denmark mm-hmm. to visit for meetings. And another aspect is, I think you are also raising the issue in Europe that we should turn the spotlight, the floodlights, on who these people are. Have what in the United States was known in the 1930s as a Pecora Commission, after Ferdinand Pecora, the famous tough guy DA from New York City. But you've got some people's attention on that in Denmark and elsewhere, right?
Yeah, it was actually very exciting when Helga was here that there was a certain openness also in the institutions of power to actually take this discussion. She had several meetings with parliamentarians in the parliament on this issue, and pushing for this idea that also in Denmark we should have such a Pecora Commission right now. to investigate all of these fraudulent dealings from the financial interests and from the banks, to basically expose, because like in Denmark, we have also had our share of bailout packages, like in the United States, going to the banks, and these money go to the banks.
Right.
The line coming out from government is we have to save the banks because else the banks won't lend people money. But now you save the banks and people won't see, they see silch. They don't get a penny of those money going into the banks. So instead of doing this, have a Pecora Commission expose this thing and have simply the parliament create such a commission as the first step in then rectifying the evil doings that is exposed in this. Having like the equivalent in Denmark of what you had before in the United States, a Glass-Steagall Act, to basically separate legitimate financial activities like the lending of banks to normal people, to house owners, to industry, from financial speculation, derivatives, and all of this, not only just garbage, but it's fraud, a lot of it. So we had quite an openness for this discussion. There was the leader of then following that we have actually, before Helga Seppelrouge was up here, we had had three times actually in within a year, we gave testimony to one of the committees of parliament called the Political Economic Committees, which deals with these greater, more principal issues, where we then warned about what was coming in terms of the financial crash and presented the necessity for a new Bretton Woods financial system, discussed the need for such a Pecora Commission in Denmark, and so on and so forth. And actually, the head of this committee, who is also a key leader of one of the left-wing parties called the Red-Green Unity Party, came out at their national conference in the keynote speech and then called for a financial investigation of the of that type, a commission to investigate these fraudulent dealings. So there is a certain discussion, but at the same time also, I would say, a frustration when we met in Parliament because of two sorts, that the opposition say, yes, we would like to have such a thing, but the government will not let us have it, and therefore we have to basically sit on our hands and wait till we maybe later will get into power. So that's the one, this kind of impotence of simply wait and see. The other big problem we, of course, have here, for those that have visited Denmark will know, is that this idea, well, there's a big crisis in the world out there, but here in Denmark, after all, things are not that bad. And if we just pretend like, try to be a little bit optimistic, spend a little extra money, maybe the crisis will just go away. And there, Helga Seppelrouge actually also played an extremely important role in two key political layers of getting them to wake up to the fact that Denmark is actually part of the world and is hit by this and cannot simply go into some kind of windmill fantasy or spinning around. But we have to deal with this. And just one more thing, that the other thing which therefore also is being discussed in certain circles is, well, maybe we should have such a hearing on these things. Maybe we should even have it with international experts and invite people like Lyndon LaRouche to actually give us an insight to what is truly going on with this whole thing.
Yes, it's funny you say about maybe let's just go local and stay here at home and think the world will go away. But of course, since Copenhagen is the venue for this awful thing you mentioned that's to happen the first week of December of the world meeting on how to shut down the world economy in the name of reducing carbon emissions, you're not going to be able to, even the fantasy won't last of being able to stay separate from the world. But let's get on back to the United States again and the scene here. I just want to mention one email came in from Brian from, I think, it's possible it's California, but and he was saying, why isn't Hillary Clinton coming out against Obama's Nazi healthcare problem? Why is John Conyers and Representative Kucinich not going on the attack? Thanks, Brian, but let me point out one thing is that John Conyers does have a bill. Its number is House of Representatives H.R. 676 that goes in the directionality of the principle that people have the right to health care. It calls for something like in the United States, the catchword is Medicare for all, meaning there should be care and people have a right to it. But I think that the point is that it's the LaRouche effort that's taking the point on identifying the pedigree, the British version of the Nazi medicine, the British import, naming the names, and having the nerve to identify what Obama's doing in this regard. I understand in Houston, Sharon, I saw another poster headline that you put out there downtown to organize downtown Houston in the medical areas, and it said, LaRouche to Obama, let go of these Nazi policies. And it's just the kind of thing that certain other people like John Conyers certainly aren't doing, but we're creating the climate where we're going to draw the line. Do you want to, in the remaining minute, say anything about your effort there, whether it's summarizing, I don't know, the impact you had in having a lot of meetings in Austin, Texas, in the state capitol, because your legislature only meets every 2 years, or maybe just tell people the number of the, in this campaign, to have local municipalities pass resolutions to insist on the Homeowners and Bank Protection Act. How would you describe or summarize? In other words, you are getting a reaction, right?
Yes. I would just say that we're being upfront and honest with people. See, a lot of people who are still inside think Obama is this rock star god, can't even see behind the glitz and glamour. And we had the same with Obama and Hitler next to each other. We did provoke to people. People are asking, are we comparing Obama to Hitler? Which is not the case. We're making the point that if Obama does go with these Hitler-like Medicare policies, he will open the door for genocide, which is sadly he is going along with and wanting to create so-called green jobs for the American people.
Mm-hmm. Right. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, I just wanted to say to Sharon that I also want to thank you and also the whole LaRouche Youth Movement for being out there and really taking this fight out on the street and taking the political fight, because the political elite in Washington, I mean, they are not going to be the ones on the front lines on this. They're too scared. They have too many other interests. They're trying to have this and that. So it's really up to you guys to get this point out, to mobilize the American people. And this is not just a fight for the soul of America and for the American population. But if you win or lose the fight, that is actually going to determine what the situation will be for all the rest of us living on this planet. So I just want to thank you for doing the tremendous job you're doing and just say, keep fighting. And I want to say to everybody else, listen, that you really got to get your act together and give some much more financial and active support to this tremendous youth movement we have taking on this fight.
I thank both of you. And let me give the phone number, because many of you are listening later by telephone message line. In the U.S., you can dial 800-278-3136. You can dial 800-278-3136. And also, you know, you're listening live. You're on LaRouchePub.com, LaRouchePub.com. But go on LaRouchePAC.com, LaRouchePAC.com. See the latest LPAC TV spots on just the kind of thing we've been talking about. And definitely June 6th, get the latest update on this battle, which we're out to win. It's not something that we're going to – we're just not going to lose it, and we need everyone's involvement. So once again, I'm very happy to thank Sharon Pearson in Houston, Texas, and please thank all the people who went to Austin for us in particular.
Okay, I will.
Okay, and thank you, Tom Gillisberg, and everyone in Europe, but thank you especially in Copenhagen. And this is Marcia Mary Baker. We're signing off for May 30th, 2009, The LaRouche Show. Thank you if you're still on there.
I'm still on, yes.
Okay, I'm so glad to talk to you. Sharon, I haven't talked to you in ages. Good. Okay, so I guess we'll carry on. And yes. Go ahead.
We have a lot of work to do.
Yes, I know. Okay, good. Thanks for taking the time, Sharon, and we'll talk to both of you, I hope, in the upcoming months. Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Jerry, bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.